The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
I am here with Amy Meberson, an artist. You can see some of her work behind me, and we'll show some more as well. You do a lot of Disney art.
Yeah.
And you worked for Disney for a while, and then, animation and then comics?
Yeah. So I started at Walt Disney Animation Australia, back when there was an animation studio in Sydney. And I started there and worked there for 5 years until the studio closed, and then relocated to the States, and I went to work for Tokyopop for a while, drawing manga. And after that, I started doing Disney comics with Boom Studios, and I pretty much stayed working with Disney in various capacities ever since.
It's like a dream job for an artist, I would think.
Yeah. It's a combination of right place, right time, and just being adaptable.
What did you do with the animation? Like, what was your part?
I was part of like the old 2D animation system, which is very sadly not around anymore. But I was an in-betweener, which is kind of like fills in the rest of the animation drawings after the animators are done. And it's kind of a cross between, you're kind of halfway between an assistant animator and a cleanup artist. And you have to be able to do all sorts of stuff, and effects, shadows, all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Did that lead to the Disney comic work?
Kind of. I found an editor that I knew at Tokyopop, went on to work for Boom, and I learned just through internet scuttlebutt that Boom had a Disney Comics license at the time. And so I contacted this editor and said, hey, can I try out? Because I had just moved to the States, and the whole manga wave at Tokyopop was kind of wrapping up. And so I was looking for work. And so I said, hey, I've worked for Disney Animation. Can I try out for the comics? And he went, yeah, sure. You'll still have to audition with Disney. And I went, yeah, sure. And so I tested and I got approved. And so I don't know if my animation experience really impacted that decision, but at least I had that training, because animation training really taught me a lot on drawing solidly and how to draw on model. So, which is, of course, important when you're doing licensed comics, not just Disney, but in general, yeah.
Was it difficult when you're doing the comics to stick with like the Disney style and also incorporate your own?
Most of the comics I did with Boom were I did Pixar and Muppet comics.
Oh, wow.
And the Muppets were fun because being a bit of a Muppet fanatic, I was very keen to be faithful to the puppets and the limitations of the puppetry. So I never drew the Muppets anyway, except in no way other than how the puppets would behave.
That's awesome.
So, which I had fun doing. And Pixar were pretty flexible. But with princesses, for instance, these comics I've been doing with them is very much a special, cool case where Disney decided, yeah, you know what, let's try this cute little princess style with the comic strip format. And Disney noticed and said, hey, that's actually pretty good enough that we're now doing toys, and there's merchandise starting to roll out using my artwork on it. And that's taken a long time to get to this point. But it's just, some of it is just Disney. Sometimes even the big companies like Disney don't know what could potentially be good until they see it. Whereas sometimes it'll be like, nope, this is our brand aesthetic. We need you to stick to this.
Right. Which is understandable.
Yeah. So it can be variable. It depends on which division you're working for and what you're making. Yeah.
I noticed a lot of your drawings you have here of Vanellope and Kermit.
Yeah.
They just look amazing. When you do stuff for yourself, like in that style, what would you call your style of art?
My style probably has a decent influence of like a sort of Japanese chibi style. You know, I loved Sailor Moon and everything back in the day, but I wouldn't call it pure chibi. It's more just, it's got elements of that just in terms of like cartoonish exaggeration. I also love mid-century art. So, there's modern day guys like Shane Glynes and all this kind of stuff who do that beautiful mid-century stylized retro-y kind of look. And I just love the simplicity of that. So I love mid-century illustration in general as well, because it was in, and, you know, the classic guys like Hanna-Barbera and UPA Studios did a lot of that, stripping down character design to just the simple essences and still give them, bring them personality. So that's what I always try and, I like to try and do, is I like to, mine's all about personality. So, and I think I generally, that's what a lot of people find engaging with my stuff. They're just like, they're so, that's so cute.
They look
very often, but
cute and also alive at the same time.
Yeah, I very much like to always have personality or some kind of attitude in the characters. I don't like them to look just boring.
It's very nice work.
Thank you.
Do you ever do any artwork that would surprise your fans of this style, like another style, like opposite, some like... Like for yourself?
Not really.
Maybe,
I'm fairly predictable.
Yeah.
It's like many artists there. I love drawing pretty girls and, you know, that's what I enjoy drawing. And, you know, I tend to stick to my strengths. Sometimes, yes, you walk around and look at other artists and go, oh, I kind of like to try that. But, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, I wanted to be like Beatrix Potter. I wanted to do beautiful traditional watercolor storybook illustration and all that kind of stuff. But, for the most part, I'm content with what I do. It's,
Do you ever have Disney princesses that, like, when you get to work on them, you're excited, and other ones that if you get to work on them, you're like, not her again?
Oh, no, never.
All of them?
No, I love all my girls. I love all my girls.
Do you have a favorite?
I would love to work on more Frozen stuff. Frozen, of course, is a separate brand from Disney princesses. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why you don't see Anna and Elsa hanging around with the princesses or anything, except in Wreck-It Ralph, which was a different thing.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph.
That was different.
Yeah, they were off and they were just relaxing.
Yeah, that was kind of a different take, which is nothing to do with it.
What did you think of that?
It was fun. You can see Features had a lot of fun doing that. Yeah, and it's it was, people came to me as soon as they saw that scene at D23 and said, they've done pocket princesses. And I just went, oh, okay. And I finally got to see the scene. I'm like, yeah, it was funny. There are things I would have written about it that are different, but I could see what they were going for and what the intent of the scene was. So I don't really, you know, it's funny and I love them. And Dark Horse asked me to do a Wreck-It Ralph princess story with them. So that was challenging.
does it surprise you how lucky you've been, not lucky, that's probably the wrong word, how fortunate you've been in the industry to be doing the Disney comics?
Absolutely, yeah.
Stuff like that,
yeah.
Pixar and all that stuff.
I mean, Disney is still one of the most desirable companies for a creator. It's like you don't get much higher than Disney, and there's a heavy emotional legacy involved because you're contributing to this incredible history, and you want to do justice to these animators and who created these characters you love, and you want so much to make them proud of what you're doing, and you know, and ultimately to be pragmatic, you know, Disney is a company there, you want to make a good product, and that is something I'm always trying to do, and I'm very, very grateful that just this labyrinth of right place, right opportunities came along, even if it's just in a little tiny way, like a little comic or something like that. Somebody at Disney said, yeah, okay, let's give it a try. So that's something I am very, very grateful for.
Is there an artist or artists that kind of inspired you to start drawing and being an artist yourself?
Not really. I mean, I've been drawing since I was two. So I don't really remember there was something that made me want to draw. I just drew. When I was a kid, yeah, I loved the old storybooks, like Wind of the Willows, things like that. I drew a lot of cute little animals living in forests when I was a little girl. And but what cemented me wanting to be a Disney artist was when Beauty and the Beast came out. And I was in, you know, junior in high school. And that ballroom scene came along, and my jaw just hit the floor, and I'm just like, I want to do that. And straight away then, I was looking for every – this is pre-internet, so
yeah.
Every magazine I could find that had – or, a kids or stickers that had Beauty and the Beast on them. I was trying to learn to draw Belle, and I've been drawing Disney characters ever since, basically.
Did you ever see the movie version they released on Laserdisc where it's just the drawings of Beauty and the Beast?
I do not have that one. No.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. It's all just like the drawings.
It's a storyboard, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's on Laserdisc. I don't know if it's on another format, but it's pretty cool. I noticed you drawing at the table and doing different things by hand. You draw by hand. Do you also do like digital work?
The paid day job is all done digitally. Yeah, because again, you're working for a major company with a lot of guidelines and rules. There are always going to be notes. And so it is just so much easier to make adjustments and revisions digitally than do them by hand. So, the hand drawing I pretty much just do for conventions, for people who want to come and get something. Yeah.
Is it different to draw digitally than by hand?
It is.
I mean, you relearn it almost?
No. I mean, the actual drawing technique is no different. You're just adjusting to the different media. You know, it's obviously it takes a different touch to do something by watercolor than it is to, because you can emulate any studio technique on a computer screen and your pen works the same way. Whereas if I'm drawing something by hand, of course, if I'm inking something, I'm going to be different to pencils, to pastel, to paints. So drawing digitally kind of condenses all those skill sets down to a screen which is emulating all that, really. So it's just another tool. You know, you wouldn't say one is not better than the other. It's just .
Do you have a preference?
Probably digitally. Kind of like the freedom of it. You don't have that tangible quality, the thing in your hand. It varies from one day to the next. Some days I'll be just like, I just feel like painting today.
Do you do it for yourself, art, just to enjoy? Or is it you do it so much you just take time off when you're not doing it?
Oftentimes, yes. Yeah, I work, you know, we get very little time off in freelance. So usually in the evening, I'm like, I don't want to draw anything tonight. I just want to play my app games or I sew or do something else with my hands.
Happy place.
You know?
What's your happy place?
Disneyland. Happiest place on earth.
I
live 15 minutes away from Disneyland, so I'm there.
I live
like
an hour away from Disney World. So
So you get it.
Yeah, I get it. I'm there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. If our viewers want to get some of your work and they're not in the con right now, where can they go?
Unfortunately, I do not sell anything outside the cons.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an online store, unfortunately.
Website where people can see where you're going to be?
My website is just my name, amymeberson.com. My Twitter handle is just my name. And Instagram, most of my social media is on Twitter and Instagram. So I'm chatty on Twitter. You know, if I have any new art or news to share, it'll usually go on Instagram. So it's just my name, Amy Meberson, on Twitter and Instagram. And and my website is amymeberson.com, which is just kind of a general hub where you can go find
everything.
Find everywhere else. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being
thank
on
you very much.
The Long Box.
This
appreciate
great.
It.
This is great. Thanks very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.